I told him if you don't respond that he needs to go down there and point to the pulpit and say, good preaching. So please, with his leg, please don't make him do that, okay?
You've never had a problem responding to me yet. You know, when I come here, I like to have a little fun. I like to provide a little anesthesia before the surgery. And so, I got out some old notes. It's been a while since I've been here, but I remember I gave you 10 things God never says. Remember that? I'm not sure, Brother Schumacher. I think I had more requests for those 10 statements than I did for the message. I'm not sure. But there are 10 things that you'll never hear God say. Remember what it was? Number one. How many remember them all? Number one was oops. Number two, what have I done? Number three, how did I let that happen? Number four, I made a mistake. Number five, it was an accident. Number six, I don't know what to do. Number seven, I'm afraid of what will happen now. Number eight, I can do better than that. Number nine, what do you think I should do? And number 10, last but not least, why didn't I think of that? Praise God. Copies available after service. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you again. We had to turn Brother Schumacher down two times, and he kept after me. And it's always a privilege to come because you do respond well to the word. It's been a busy day, full day. It's the end of the day, and I thank you in advance for your energy that you will spend listening to me. I often wonder, I wish I was half as good as people think I am. I'd be a marvelous saint of God. But I'd like to be truthful with you. I'd like to bring messages that you can relate to that are down where you and I live. We're on terra firma. We're not there yet. We're in the journey, in the battle. I'd like to preach tonight on a subject. Now, I'm not going to give you the subject because of two reasons. Number one, when I give a subject, people try to figure out the whole rest of the message, what it was. I don't necessarily stick with the subject, and that frustrates people. Number two, if I give you the name of the message, I'll give you the punchline, and I can't do that yet. So I'm going to have to start with a story. Before we do that, let's please have the Lord anoint our preparation tonight. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of being in this house again with the Schumachers and with this wonderful church. Thank you for this glorious monument to truth. Thank you for this place of refuge and peace and safety. Let your anointing rest upon us tonight. Let your spirit prevail. Talk to us, Lord. You know all about us. Talk to us and reach us tonight, we pray. And we give you the glory, the honor, in Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Is this the one I need for traveling? Is this my traveling mic? Praise God. Is this my traveling mic? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Do you know what it means when a preacher puts his watch up? Huh? Have I been here before? Your problem is you remember what I said. That's your problem. Well, I would like to preach tonight on this topic, the Word and the Spirit. I told Brother Schumacher I would come tonight. He said, well, I'll be preaching on the Word and the Spirit. And I text back to him and said, I will also be preaching on the Word and the Spirit. So I said, I better come up with something besides the Word and the Spirit tonight. From Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. And it is a privilege to be here. And Brother Schumacher and Sister Schumacher have come to our church and preached, and he did a fabulous job. He really ministered to our church, and I want to do that again soon. Micah 7 and 8 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." This subject that I'm preaching on tonight affects every one of us. In fact, you most likely encountered this situation today. And if not, you surely will encounter it tomorrow. If you're working a job and you have to travel through going rush hour traffic and you have to work for a supervisor and colleagues in a job, you will face this tomorrow. This issue determines whether you will be saved or lost. No matter how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, how often you pray, and how often you study and read your Bible, this will determine whether you are finally saved or finally lost. It's not so much when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's really what is your status tonight. How are we doing tonight in this service? If the Lord would come tonight, would you be ready to go? This subject determines whether you will grow or fall away. Now, I'm reading some church statistics that tell me that when people come in the church, they read and study and pray and are faithful for about the first 5 years. Then after that, they don't read as much and study as much and are not as faithful and dedicated as much, and they tend to cool off and become satisfied with what they have. I don't think I'm preaching to people like that here tonight. We want to continue to grow. This word will determine whether you grow or cool off and fall away. This word will determine whether you continue to lap up the sincere milk of the word, or whether you will sink your teeth into the meat of the gospel. It will determine a lot of things. This issue is summed up in one little word, and this word is greater than just a word. It represents everything you will face in life. Are you curious? One word. Before we learn the word, I want to share with you a story. Henry worked as the head floor sweeper in a tool and die shop. Now, you relate to this. You'll feel this one. He was good at his job. He was tall, thin, strong, and dedicated. I mean, no one loved to clean the shop like this guy. This was his fetish. This was his thing. A nice, clean shop. One thing he needed to remember, he was a sweeper making $10 an hour. And there were die makers that were a level above him. His job was important, but their job was more important. Their job was bringing in the income. Eventually, there was something that started to drive him crazy. It got under his skin. It started to aggravate him. It was a thorn in his flesh, and it bothered him. He used an old-fashioned scrubber that he pushed by hand. He had to fill it up with 5 gallons of water and then pour it out over the entire floor. So he did not like it when people walked through or drove through the wet floor while he was sweeping. They did this several times. At first, he didn't let it bother him. He thought, well, this won't go on like this forever. But it happened again and again. And again, the problem was that it happened continually. Every day, someone would drive through or walk through his wet floor that he was sweeping. One day, Henry couldn't take it anymore. You know the feeling? One day, he had it. One day, there was one walk too many, one drive too many. As one of the die makers drove over his nice, clean floor again, Henry ran up to him, reared back his fist, and smashed him in the face. Needless to say, Henry never again had to worry about working for that plant and doing what he did again. Now, if you haven't guessed it by now, the word tonight is again. Again. This is going to be profound, so brace yourself. Your life is full of again situations. How you handle these situations will determine whether you make it to the end or not. Can anyone relate? Anyone have some again moments and situations you can think of? Did you drive in traffic today? Did you get cut off again? Did you get yelled at and honked at again? Did you get sign language to read again? Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We are in a battle, we are in a race, and we must endure to the end. It's not how you started, but it's how you end that will make a difference in whether you go to heaven or not. Again, situations, the situations that make you say, oh no, not again. Brother Schubing, not another family. Now where are they going? Not again. How about, here we go again. Not this again. Can you relate? What you do in these times determines how life will go for you. It isn't when temptation comes. It's when temptation comes again and again and again. It's not when trouble comes, not the first time, but when it comes again and again and again. It isn't when family issues and crises arise, but when they happen again and again and again. It's not when sickness comes, but when the same sickness you just got healed for comes again and again and again. We must be ready to stand and fight until Jesus comes. It's going to be a fight. There's going to be moments when you've got to stand up for what's right and keep on doing what is right and keep on fighting this battle if you ever hope to win. In the world you shall have tribulations. Jesus promised that you'd have tribulations. You ought not be surprised, the Bible says, when you are afflicted. Don't be shocked and surprised and say, me? Why am I going through this? Now what did I do? Lord, are you sure you've got the right person? Jesus promised you that you will have tribulations in this world. But be of good cheer. Now, there's the part I'm working on. But be of good cheer. Be happy. Glory in your infirmities. Be thankful for your infirmities. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's nothing that we're going to go through tomorrow or this week or this month that the Lord will not go with us. He'll be there with you. You're not in this alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You're not in this alone, church. You have a great Savior, a great friend. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise God. And that, with that knowledge, we can go through an awful lot and understand that God is in this. Life is challenging, but with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost in you, with the power of the Word of God, with the power of prayer, with the strength of the church, we can make it. We're going to make it. No matter what the world says, what the world does, what happens, how many floods and tornadoes and earthquakes take place, how many cities are damaged, how corrupt the government becomes, we're going to make it. We're going to make it all the way home. Paul said this to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to all on that last day. A gift to me on that last, and not to me only, but unto all
those that love his appearing. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm here to encourage someone tonight to keep on fighting. Keep on playing. Keep on working. Keep on doing that which is right. Don't weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. Praise God if you faint not. I don't know when that due season is. I don't know if that's here and now on this earth or then and there in the glory world. If you lasted 70, 80 years, now I'm 70 years old. I don't know that I'll live forever. I suspect one day I'll be gone. But if you live to be 100, that's nothing compared to eternity. If you have an infirmity in you tonight, a sickness, a disability, a disablement tonight, the one lifetime is not too long a price to pay for eternal glorified body. Praise God. Things are going to get better, in a better place, in a better time. Praise God. I'm encouraged tonight. God may want you to learn a lesson. How many things do you learn when things are going well? When everything's going your way, no trials, no tribulations, no problems, no struggles. How much do you learn? Not much. We learn everything significant during times of trouble. Therefore, we must glory in our infirmities and be thankful for the opportunities. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Jesus Christ learned valuable lessons in his flesh by the things which he suffered. And I suspect tonight that we're going to have to learn them the very same way. There is a purpose in it. There's a purpose in suffering. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11 said, there's something good is being accomplished. Sometimes we need to make a change in our life to accommodate these problems. Some necessary changes. Our life is the again moments must require change. So I value the again moments. I value the again situations. When the enemy comes in 2 Samuel 5, 22, they had defeated the Philistines and burnt their images, and they thought they had the victory. They won the battle, but did not realize the war was not over. You may have won some victories tonight, but let me promise you and assure you by the authority of the Word of God that the war is not over. You're still in the front lines and still in the fight. Praise God. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. They thought it was over, but they came again. This time, they inquired of the Lord again. This time, it was a different battle plan. It's always good to inquire of the Lord before we go to battle, because every time may be a different battle plan. This time he said, I want you to come up over against the mulberries, and when you hear the rustling of the mulberries, then I want you to advance, because I'm going to give you the victory again. But they had won two battles, and the victory was not over yet. You may have dwelt with one battle, but the battle and the war is not over. We must decide tonight to fight and believe again. I'm not sure where you are tonight in your life, in your situations. You may be going through some very terrible, challenging tribulations and situations tonight, but I'm encouraging you to keep on fighting. Keep on doing what is right. I have people that have stayed home to solve their problems. Stayed home because they had a family feud. I'll tell you what, if you punish God for every time he gives you a tribulation, you're going to be in trouble. You have problems, bring that problem to church and bring that to the altar. You have a problem situation, you're not going to solve it at home. But come here and get the strength that you need to go back and face the situation. Come and get the good word of God and increase your faith and stir up your spirit and increase your confidence and trust in him, and then take that back to the battlefield with you and see if you won't enjoy a great victory again. Praise. Don't punish God for our problems and our mistakes. Don't punish your children. Keep them out of church. Find some other way to punish them, but don't take them out of church. Don't drag them out of youth group. Don't keep them out of Sunday school. Bring them to the house of God. More problems are solved in this altar than you can imagine. Praise God. 1 Peter 4:12, sometimes the battles get old. They get old. They get old, and they
work on you and they grind on you and they put pressure on you. And you become exhausted, you become weary, you become faint in mind. God, do I really have to go through this again? Do I really have to face this again? The again moments, it's the again moments that cause us to grow and discover more about ourselves. Praise God. I think you can testify tonight that you did your greatest growing during some trials and tribulations. You came through a better person. Your faith was greater. Your prayer was more intense and more sincere. You searched the scriptures and found answers and food. You found opportunities to bask in his presence and feel his comfort and his assurance once again. Praise God. There's no shortcut for a relationship with God. Maybe there's something you need to pick up again. Need to dream again. Don't stop dreaming. I'm 70 years old and we're still got dreams and plans yet. I think I will never get everything done that I want to do. I think I will never accomplish all my dreams, but I'm going to keep on dreaming. Keep on working. Keep on striving. Keep on serving. Worship again. Your good pastor touched on it tonight. Worship again. Don't stop worshiping. Jesus is looking for true worshipers. There are people who go to church every week by the thousands, and they're not worshiping him in spirit and truth. If you have the truth and you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you have a special ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship him as true worshipers. He's looking for you. He's seeking your praise. He smiles and he's pleased when he hears your message tonight. Worship again. Prayer life again. Witness again. There's a world out there, and they're confused. They're confused by what's happening. My dad said that I don't know what's going on. I said, Dad, it's the end time. Everything's happening right on schedule. This old earth is groaning for redemption, and we're longing for his soon return. Everything is happening around us for a reason. People are asking questions. This is a good time to share the hope with them that Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. I'm going to get up again. I may have been knocked down. Have you ever been knocked down and you were just numb? You didn't know if you could recover very quickly? As soon as you were able to breathe again and shake your head, you get up again and fight again. I'm going to try again. Believe again. Go after it again. I don't know if you're sports fans. I enjoy football and baseball. I'm not an addict, but one thing that aggravates me is when a team doesn't try. They have a good inning. The starting pitcher does great for five or six innings, then the relievers come in and lose the game. Something about that just irritates me. It's one of those again moments for me. I want a team that goes out there and plays all nine innings. I want a football team that plays all four quarters and gives it their very best. And if they lost, I want it to be because they lost trying, not lost lying down. I'm relating that to our life tonight. Don't lay down. Don't get lazy. Don't give up. Don't quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. We're in the race. This is the final. There's going to be a great falling away. Hearts are going to grow cold because of the pressure of sin. I want to be in that number. I want to be in that final run. I want to make, I'm like Paul. I don't want to have preached in churches like this and then be a castaway. We want to make it all the way. We want to fight all the way. Believe it again. Read the Bible and get on your face and believe it all over again. Go after it again. Make it your desire. I can survive and I can thrive when I have that again spirit. Praise God. Samson gave Delilah the secret of his strength. Now let me tell you, if you're laying in the arms of Delilah tonight, you're in trouble. He got in trouble. He gave her the secret and she cut his hair. How strange. But my Bible says his hair began to grow again. His hair grew again.
He said, God, give me one more chance. I didn't do well the first time. I didn't honor my commitment and dedication to you. I did not honor your strength and what you trusted me with, the strength you gave me. I did not use that well. I failed miserably. But Lord, I want to try again. Give me one more chance. And God was merciful again. God wants to give someone here another chance. Please don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself before God does. Don't give up on yourself before the church does. Don't give up on yourself before your pastor and his wife do. Don't give up. God, give me one more chance. And so God gave him one more chance. And the Bible says he killed more Philistines in his death than in his life. Praise God. There are some things in life you may want to let God awaken again. Never let the again moments keep you from your relationship with God. There are a lot of things that can discourage us. There are a lot of things that can get in under our skin, cause us to be bitter and angry and unforgiving. And I think we're all learning more about ourselves these days. Every time you go through a situation, you learn a little bit more about yourself. You surprise yourself sometimes with what can come out of your heart. You surprise yourself with what you think and what you feel. All of a sudden, that doesn't sound like the Holy Ghost. Doesn't sound like Jesus Christ. Sounds a lot like your flesh. And you surprise yourself. It may be time just to go back and pick up some old things again. Worship God, then take on the problem. If you have a problem at home, if you have a problem at work, come here to church and have a good worship and bring it to the Lord. You want to find people with problems, go to the Psalms. They had problems and they declared their problems. They declared their fears. They declared their abandonment, their loneliness. They declared how miserable they were feeling. And when they got all done, God came through and ministered to them and strengthened them once again. Praise God. Worship God. Amen. When you come to church, worship God. Amen. No matter how you feel. I used to have labs at the University of Wisconsin, labs at 7 o'clock at night. I got out just in time to come to the altar at church. I came in with just dragging, mentally exhausted, a full day, tired. And I would come in and just sit in the altar and just weep in the presence of God. I'll tell you, I took away more strength from those moments back to the campus. I walked away renewed and ready to take on the day. If I can make it to church, I'll be there. If I have to crawl down the aisle, I'll be there. If I have to limp and walk like an Egyptian, I'll have to hobble around like a wounded dog. I'll make it to church. Amen. Don't give up on church. Amen. Don't give up on worship. Amen. Pray to Jesus. Spend time with him. Amen. You become like the company you keep. My wife can always remind me, said, you haven't spent much time in prayer today, have you? You don't sound too much and act too much like Jesus to me. That's why she's here tonight. Keeping an eye on me. Praise God. You can always tell. Your spouse will usually be able to tell, then your children, then the colleagues at work. You come to church, they'll know. You need to spend time with him. Amen. Spend time with the Lord. Amen. And then perform your ministry. Be faithful to church and ministry in the saints, and then face your challenges. Praise God. God has given us some very powerful tools that we can use to be victorious and overcoming. Stay in the Word of God. And then defeat your again moments. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm here to encourage someone tonight to keep on keeping on, keep on trying. Amen. Keep on doing what is right and good. If you're going to be hated tonight, be sure it's for doing what's good and right and not what's evil. Praise God. May the Lord bless his word to your heart tonight. Praise God. You may want to come here and just renew some things, pick up some things that you've left behind, you've left lay.
Go back and do your first works. If you left your first love, didn't lose it. You just left it. Just repent. And remember from whence you've fallen. And then go back and do your first works. That works. That works for me. When I get ugly, when I get carnal, it's time to pray. When I have an again moment that I'm not doing so well on, it's time to pray. And preachers need to be in church too. I'm here for you and you're here for me. And together we can make it. God bless you.
Amen. How many needed that? I tell you. Wow. God's always right on time, isn't he? Think it not strange these fiery trials come. Like it's some strange thing that would happen. No, no. We're all in a process. In the 50s, my dad bought the first TV for our house. And there were like three programs on in TV. And I mean, it only came on, I think, at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon to, I don't know, maybe 9 at night. And then the rest of the time, you got a chance to watch the test pattern, you know. It's like watching the microwave going around. And one of the things that was on was boxing. And so my dad would love to watch boxing. And I remember when it got just too bad, when somebody was losing so bad, the manager would throw in the towel and they would stop the fight. Amen. Now, the fighter never threw in the towel. It was not the referee that threw in the towel, but it was the manager. And sometimes we're in a battle, but we don't understand. And we've got a manager. He's the only one who can throw in the towel. And you know what? He never does. Because he knows we're going to be victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. I know. Sometimes we feel we're down for the count. So many times Brother Oggs has ministered here. And he wrote this incredible book, You've Got to Have a Want To. And when he had cerebral palsy as a kid and he tried to ride that bike and kept falling over and falling over. And finally one day, he was able to ride that bike around the block and all of the neighbors came out and just started clapping their hands and rejoicing. Because he got up again and again. And again, and it's not neighbors who will clap for us, but I believe that there is a whole group of angels that are clapping for each of us when we decide we're going to get up one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. You need to get this CD and play it once a month, amen, because there is always going to be challenges in our life. But together, together, we have a support group. Amen. And we lean on each other. It seems when I'm down, my wife is up. And when my wife is down, I'm up. And we help each other, you know. And that's what we do in church. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Brother Lemke. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many would like to come to the altar again? The altar's open.